disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning. Good morning. Faced every day, faced with the same issue when I come down here, man. Do I run a show or do I say what's on my heart, you know? Because those two things aren't always the same thing, you know? They're really not always the same thing. And I want the show to be informative. I want it to be eye-opening. I want it to be, I don't know what I want it to be, but I got something just burning inside of me that, I don't want the show to be about me and what I think, you know. I gotta tell you, I fight that every day. Every day I fight that. I come down here today and just this morning I just got poked in the chest. Maybe it's the fast. Y'all still with us? Still with me on the fast? Now's when it gets good. Now after the first 3 days it gets good. I went down here and I was. Thank you, Lord. We have the worst leadership, Christian leadership, in the history of Christianity right now. Right now. Everything that you go and see going on in America is the fault of the pulpit. Everything you see going on right now is the fault of the pulpit. Every bit of it. And there doesn't appear to be any awakening at all. How long have we known now they're murdering babies in New York? And has there been any pushback? I know Elizabeth Johnson's trying to get the day of mourning going on. Why are all of these things happening outside of the church? Where is the president of the Assemblies of God? Where are they? How about this one? Take a deep breath. Where are those guys that wear those funny Ku Klux Klan hats? They call themselves bishops. Where are those guys? Where are they? I don't know. We have, and then this is what got me going. I look down here. I scroll down here. Over here on the side, I can see there's 31 people in here. There's going to be 50-some in here before we're done. Some people haven't gotten up yet, or Jared hadn't let them in yet. And I come down, and I'm just reading names as I go down there. David, Denny, and Don, and Dustin, George, Glenn, and Jim, Jared, and all these great. And then all of a sudden, boom, I stop right there and say, there it is. Lexi Hall. So what are you talking about, Coach? I'm talking about some 17-year-old girl gets up in the morning to get in here to get fed. And most men you know ain't got no desire to do it. We have a most unbelievable Christian leadership void in America. You say, who is Lexi? Well, Lexi's the stepdaughter of Todd Barham, who's fighting for his life, battling that battle of leukemia. She drove yesterday. She and her sister drove yesterday, 2 days ago, whenever it was, down to Austin, Texas, to stand with Rusty as they presented those petitions to the governor. She did that. Was the auditorium full of people and everybody, 70,000 signatures, whatever they showed up. See, it's easy to sign your name on a signature. Anybody show up in support of it? I don't know. Lexi did. Lexi drove all the way down there. I look what's going on around me, the Christianity that goes on around me in the town in which I live. It's just enough to make the guy gag. And I've become more and more convinced. I got a lot to talk about. Calm me down here, Holy Spirit. We've got to awaken our leadership. We have to awaken our leadership. See, I've been mad at Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Hillary and Barack Obama. No, it's the guy standing don't tell me. Please don't tell me how good your pastor is. Church ought to be shut down till the slaughter of children stops. We ought to put a moratorium on church services until we get focused on what really is going on. And whether you understand it or not, go listen to Hagman and Hagman last night. I was on at 7:30. You don't have to listen to me. You've heard what I say. I got those big eyes that scare people. You listen to Paul. My brain went dead. Paul
McGuire.
Thank you, man. I couldn't find it, Denny. You listen to Paul McGuire spend the last 2 hours talking about what's going on, blood sacrifice, and what the heck is happening to us and how this whole thing has been orchestrated. And the pulpits are silent. I wrote that today. Oh, well, my pastor, he said something about it from the pulpit on Sunday. Oh, well, my goodness. Throw him a quarter. Flip him a nickel, will ya? Boy, what a brave man he is. And see, we are going to be under immense judgment. America is coming under immense. Boys and girls, I wish I could help you understand what I feel inside me. That this is the crucible for America. If now we know that the mask has come off of the left, and now that we understand that abortion is simply child sacrifice, and now we know it, and there is no response from the church. I'm going to read from you here in Jeremiah in a minute, Jeremiah 5. I got some stuff I want to talk about over here on my screen. I don't want to break the flow right here a second. I just think it's critical I do it. It hit me as I walked down the steps. Jeremiah 5. I'm going to listen to the Lord and do what he told me to do. Jeremiah 5. You ought to be texting somebody and say, man, turn on the coach is on fire. Well, not the coach is on fire. I'm trying to give a warning. You better wake up. Phony pastors. I can think of a handful of them right now. Not worth a pop. Oh, yeah, but our pastor's so good. Is he really? Really? You ready, boys and girls? I wish I didn't have to read what I had to read here, but I came down the steps and the Lord said, Jeremiah 5. So I'm in Jeremiah 5. Let's see where this goes. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. I haven't read this. I didn't prepare this and come down here. I walked down the steps and the Holy Spirit said, Jeremiah 5. It's exactly the theme of where I am today. Run to and fro. He says, you go far and wide. You go broad places. You go everywhere you can. And will you please, if you can find one man that execute judgment, that stands and seeks the truth, I'm going to pardon the city. I'm going to pardon everybody. And though they say, the Lord liveth, they're lying, man. They don't even believe that. Oh, Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them. But they haven't grieved. You've consumed them. But they've refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. Face like. They refuse to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, these are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, but the judgment of their God. So I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord. In the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them. Who? These great men. And a wolf of the evening shall spoil them, and a leopard shall watch over their cities, and everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces. This is judgment, folks. He just said, give me one guy that'll stand for. Give me one guy who will stand up and protect those babies. Just one. I just look for one. If you find me just one, and everyone that goeth out then shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. Stay with me. I'm going to the end on this. So he says, how shall I pardon you for this? How can, hey, church, how can I pardon you when we have obviously shown in New York City and other places now that they are willing to devour babies after birth? Not, let alone that they're compromising with pain-capable legislation and heartbeat bills and all that stuff. No, no, no. They know without a doubt now that is a baby. How shall I pardon them when they know that? Their children have forsaken me. I'm going to say amen, although you don't have to. And sworn by them, there are no gods. How many of you dealing with prodigals, wayward children? Judgment of God. Not so much on you, but on all of us. They then committed adultery. They assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Oh, the church is the harlots? The harlots' houses? They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. They couldn't wait to get up in the morning and go get what belongs to somebody else. So he says, shall I not visit these things? Are you kidding me? This crap's going on, saith the Lord. And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Folks, the water, the sand's rolling out of the hourglass on America. Go you up on her walls and destroy. But make not a full end. Take away her battlements. For they are not the Lord. My goodness. Go up there and let her fight, but take her weapons. Because they're not using my weapons, it says. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah, they have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They've belied the Lord and said, it's not him. Neither shall evil come upon us. Neither shall we see sword nor famine. No, that's not going to happen to us. We're there. America. God bless America. Don't you know? And the prophets have sown, and the prophets shall become wind. And the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. See, the prophets are prophesying physical blessings, money and jobs and pleasures. The word's not in them. Verse 14, wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire. That's what he's doing to me. I'm sorry. And this people would. And the words of your mouth shall devour them. Not talking about God devouring them. Do you understand this? Talking about the word coming out of the mouth. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It's a mighty nation. It's an ancient nation. A nation whose language you don't even know nor understand what they say. Their quiver is as an open grave. They're all mighty men. And they're going to eat up your harvest and your bread, which your sons and your daughters should be the one eating. And they shall eat up the flocks, your flocks and your herds, and they shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall impoverish your fenced cities wherein you trusted with the sword. The sword of the Lord is coming, boys. And judgment is here on America. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. It shall come to pass when you shall say, why does the Lord our God do all these things unto us? Then you shall answer them, like as you have forsaken me, boys and girls, you have forsaken. You've forsaken the Lord, America. You have forsaken the Lord, church. And serve strange gods in your land. So shall you serve strangers in a land that is not declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not and ears don't hear. Don't you fear me? Says the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence to place the sand for the bound of the sea and by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? I control the stinking oceans. And though the waves therefore toss themselves, you yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. Why? Because I said, hither and no farther, thus saith the Lord. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. Are you hearing that from the churches? Fear the Lord. Let's fear the Lord. The Lord that gives rain, both the former and the latter in his season, he reserveth unto us appointed weeks of the harvest. Your sins have turned away those things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Your sins have. The murdering of babies has. The destruction of marriage has. Ungodly government has. Men are ruling over you. Ungodly men are in positions of authority, and you have not. Run ye to and fro, verse 1, through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find one man that executeth judgment. Just find one man, and I'm going to ignore it. I'll look the other way. Back down, Jared. 24, was it? You say, Coach, this is Old Testament. You bet your sweet bippy it is. But the people, your iniquities turned, or is that for him? Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. There it is. Thanks, Jared. For among the Democrats, from among the socialists, no, from among my people, from among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap and they catch men. Hey, folks. Among his people. Ain't Harry Reid we're talking about here. Ain't Barack Obama. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Whose houses? These wicked men amongst my people. Their houses are full of deceit. Hey, boys, girls. What houses would those be? Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. Lord, help us. God, give us some leaders. They are waxen fat. They shine. Oh, yeah. They get up there and they say the nicest things in the pulpits. They got all kinds of money. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. They look the other way at what the wicked are doing. They don't judge the cause. The cause of who? The pre-born fatherless children. If they prosper. In the night of the needy, they do not judge. So let me ask, boys, Psalm verse 29. Shall I not visit these things? The Lord says, I let this crap go on. What choice do I have? For shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? God bless America! In God we trust! A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. You ready? The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule however they want to do it by their means. And my people love it. So what's going to be the end thereof? Thus saith the Lord.
Hey, Coach.
There's no fear of the Lord. Yeah, is that Randy? Come on in.
For anybody that doesn't say, wants to say, oh, it's the Old Testament, that's the Old Covenant, we don't live by that. I want to read them a verse, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now.
Wait for us to catch up, Randy. Let's get it up on the screen.
All right, bro.
Believe it or not, it's hard to believe. A lot of guys don't open their Bibles here in the queue, right in front of them. See, they ought to have an underlining stuff that they just heard, because later on today they want to tell somebody about it and they won't even remember what book it was in. Go ahead, Randy. 1 Corinthians what? Can't hear you, Randy. Is it me?
It's 10:11. 1 Corinthians 10:11.
Okay, go ahead, 10. Randy. We got it up there now.
Yeah, this is Paul talking to the church, Coach. It says, Now all these things happen to them as examples. Who? Israel. And they were written for our admonition. They were written for our instruction, on whom the ends of the ages have come.
Mm.
Okay, so the Old Testament isn't necessary? I don't think so, Coach. I think it was written for our admonition.
I believe so, brother. Now, all these things happen unto us for examples. They're trying to tell us this is what happened. I just have such an urgency inside of me, man. You know, I pray for my wife. She got to live with me. We get along fine. We love each other. But God, I must be a heavy guy to live with. I apologize. I don't apologize for it, sweetheart. It's the way I am. Somebody come on in here. By the way, hang on a second. We're in the middle of fasting. This day, we're 3.5 days into it. And I hope you continue to hang in there and push through and fight, because the Lord's going to speak to you in the midst of that fast. Continue to drink fluids. Continue. Listen, every time you get hungry, think, cry out to the name of the Lord. Just ask the Lord, you know, just a short prayer. Pray without ceasing. Remember, you're not getting any brownie points. For going longer, the Lord's not nothing. You're lifting weights. Fasting is lifting weights, spiritual weights. God bless you. Keep after it. Somebody come on in.
George, don't be talking brownies when you're fasting. About brownie points.
I got you, man.
I got in a little bit late. I had to bring somebody, one of my under people in my church, I had to bring them to the hospital for a surgery this morning. But, brother, when you're just catching in about that Jeremiah, I believe that was the 5th chapter that you're in, and the Old Testament, New Testament. Yeah, everybody wants to disregard these things of the Old Testament, but boy, they want to quote the things out of Psalms that bless them. Brother, it's the Piccadilly mentality. Brother, last night I blew a gasket during prayer at church, brother. I mean, the walls were thundering. I made mention of the heinousness of New York and Virginia wanting to kill babies even up to birth. I said the only people that are more wicked, and I mean wicked, than those people who would derive such laws are those wicked, wicked people who would put them in office.
Or who permit such laws, Dale, right?
Absolutely. Who permit such laws. Absolutely. And I did. I went to I went to Moses. I went, you know, reading through the Bible. We do, my family, you know, brought me back to where Moses comes down on Mount Sinai. This is after the Ten Commandments are given. This is after manna coming down from heaven. This is after the quail coming from the air, that they built their golden calf and they begin to worship it. And Moses was so grieved. God was so grieved that he wanted to wipe out all mankind. But Moses said, "Let those who are with the Lord come." This is what's in my spirit, brother. This is a serious thing. And those who were with the Lord came, and Moses said, "Now take the sword from your side and go through the camp." Through the camp, brother. There were brothers and sisters and family members. And brother, it says they slew them. They slew them. Brother, this is where we're headed.
Where we're headed. Jared, go back to Jeremiah 5. Folks, let this sink in. Go to verse 1. Just verse 1. And go to your... See, okay, I'm going to go there. Hang on a second. He says, run you. Do you see that? Ye, run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Let's try this again. Run you to and fro through the streets of the town in which you live. And see now and know. And seek in the, go downtown, go down broad and high, go down where everybody is, and see if you can find any man that will execute judgment. That seeketh truth. If you just find one guy, I'm going to pardon the entire city. This is serious, serious stuff. And here's what somebody said, Coach, we need a game plan. And yesterday I was talking about, here's what I think we ought to begin to do. I had this conversation with Victor yesterday. Maybe we can, listen, do you have the stones to do it? Do we have the stones to do it? I think we need to begin to go visit churches in the middle of the church service or after the praise and worship or their 30-second prayer, whatever it is.
Amen, Coach.
Men of God ought to stand up in the middle of the congregation. Maybe not even your congregation. Maybe men of God ought to stand up in the middle of the congregation and say, pardon me, Pastor. I don't mean to disrupt anything. But I happen to notice in the paper that they are killing babies in New York and other places in America. Pastor, full-term babies they're killing. And Pastor, I want to know something. What are you going to do about it?
Amen.
Now, they'll be dragging you out of there soon. But the entire congregation is going to hear what you just said. And that's what prophet. What does it say about the prophets, Jared? What did it say down there? That where was it? Do you remember where that was? Didn't it? Their prophets, it didn't. No, right, hang on. Your prophets are saying stuff. I didn't even say it. For among my people, 26. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait. They set snares. They bring people in on your best life now. And who are you to judge? And yada, yada. Therefore, they're becoming great, waxing rich. And they're waxing fat and they shine. Yeah, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They overpass them. They overlook the deeds of the wicked. They don't judge the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. It's a wonderful and horrible thing. I'm trying to shake it off. I'm going to do that. Go ahead. Come
Amen,
in.
Coach. That's brilliant.
Hey, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. But see, it's time we went. It's time, Randy. It's time we came out of the cave talking to the prisoners in here about how awful things are. And let's set our sights on the ones who are most culpable, and that's those six-foot icicles standing in the pulpit. And let's go be a prophetic voice to them.
Amen.
Amen.
Roger that, Coach.
I wonder how many I could hit in a Sunday morning.
Hey, Coach, can I share a dream?
Coach, you got to get down to verse 30 and 31. In Jeremiah chapter 5, because it's not just the pastors here.
No, I'm with you.
Right?
Right. So, Dan, when you stand in that pulpit, stand up in church and say, Pastor, what are you going to do about it? And then you turn to the congregation and say, folks, what are you going to do about it? This man is supposed to lead you to to plead the cause, the case of the fatherless. This man's supposed to lead you. What are you going to do? Boy, they'll be carting you out of there and calling the cops. It'd be awesome.
Verse 30:31, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. So the prophets aren't even up speaking what the word of God is.
No.
And it says the priests then rule on their own authority, not under the governance of God. And the last thing, so now you got two mistakes. And my people love it so.
Yes, they do. They love it that way, brother. They love it that way.
You know, one of the things that's involved in that situation you guys are talking about is that thing out there that calls itself the church, they have set up and recognized and set for themselves prophets who God never called and God is not using, but they have determined that those are the prophets of the church. And that mm-hmm. that's all part of the core of the reason is the people themselves, the leadership is to blame certainly, but the people themselves have fallen asleep and gotten so damn lazy. They don't even check stuff against what the scriptures say.
Larry, it's not laziness, it's self-centeredness. I've become convinced of it. We love ourselves way, 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 way too much. And if we read something in the scripture that causes us to be a little bit conflicted, we brush it off as quickly as we can, and we don't read it anymore. And the pastor knows that if he stands up in the pulpit and he calls it out for what it is, he knows that the people aren't going to like it. So the prophets are prophesying lies, and the people love it that way. That's what's going on. And see, we appear to be nuts. People think I'm nuts. And I guess I tell them I'm screwed onto the right bolt, right? I'm just, hey guys, boys and girls, whose job is it to resist evil? Is it Paul Ryan? Is it Lindsey Graham? Don McCain, he's dead. Whose job is it to resist evil? Is it Governor Kasich, his job? No, we know whose job it is.
It's all of our jobs, Coach.
Why isn't it being done? Why is it not going on? This damnable, I'm going to say it, this damnable idea that we're going to live like hell. We're going to live in a country that is nothing but the pits of hell, that God's going to come down and rescue us out of this mess. But we didn't do anything to push back against it. We didn't even try to fight it. Isn't it amazing that those who die for the cause of Christ get a martyr's crown, a special crown? What about the rest of it?
Here's a prophetical. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Here's a prophetical insight, brother. This is hard. If you do a study of the Old Testament and see right before God brought swift judgment, he normally brought abundance and prosperity, trying to get the people to turn their hearts back to the one who's made the provision in the first place. Look at America's economy. How is it? Now, listen, Donald Trump, yeah, I get it. He's not the deal maker. He can't make all this happen. He's not waving a wand. What is happening that our country is in an economic situation like it hasn't been in some 80, 90, 100 years? Overabundance and prosperity. Could this be the last call? The Lord showed me last Sunday, brother. Man, I was weeping. I saw in the spirit that the gate is closing, and it's closing quickly.
Wow.
Now, listen, amen. That's what Paul McGuire spoke about that last night on Hagman. Listen, folks, I understand the Hagman reports too. If you get on 7:30 when I started and a half hour into the show, and you listen to the next 2 hours, it's the same thing over and over and over. And Paul McGuire is explaining exactly. It's worth listening to. And we are right. You know, this is, how about this one? This is Gettysburg. Have you guys ever studied the Civil War? Have you ever really studied what happened at Gettysburg? Do you know that Lee's forces at Gettysburg had pushed in to the point where the Union was cooked? It was over. And he looked at his people. He'd gained the high ground. He looked at his people and he said, I'm going to let them rest. They need a good night's sleep. And then we'll get up and we'll go get them tomorrow. And while Lee and his army slept, the Northern Army regrouped. That's where we are. It's Gettysburg. It's Gettysburg. See, the Lord, we can, I don't know, there's not a pastor in America, not a pastor in America. Say it again. There's not a pastor in America who can say he didn't know we were killing babies. All of the excuses have now been taken away. Not only that we were killing babies, but the government was sanctioning the killing of babies. Not a pastor in America can deny that now. So we can't say, I didn't know. When we stand before the Lord, is ignorance of the law an excuse?
No.
No. Not an excuse.
The root word for ignorance, Coach, is ignore.
Yes, sir. Jared, look that one up. Ignorance. To ignorance. Ignore.
Coach. Coach.
Yes.
We're facing, our backs are towards the storm. We should be facing the storm.
Should be running roar.
Yeah, but our backs are towards the storm. The tornado's coming, and our backs are towards the tornado. You have to turn around and watch the tornado. And as you're watching the tornado, you're giving the people, you're helping people to understand that there's a storm coming, and it's coming fast. That's what Dale is saying. Everybody that has any sense, evil grows when people don't do nothing.
But Vic, our answer has been evil's coming. Jesus is about to come. Our response has been the absolute worst one. Yes. Was that George or was that Dale? You guys sound alike.
Yeah, me, Coach. Hey, last night, this kind of ties into what you're talking about. Me, Paul, Alan, and Tammy went down to the to City Hall to the Tulsa City Council meeting.
God bless you guys.
Well, I'll just share with you real quick what happened. I guess I filled out the form wrong, so I couldn't get on this docket. But Alan, go figure. But Tammy and Alan did a magnificent job. And at the end of Alan's talk, at about 3 minutes, he really built a great case and just nailed him between the eyes. The mayor, and Alan didn't even realize it was the mayor till afterwards, but the mayor asked him afterwards, he said, after his talk, he said, so what are you asking us to do about it? And he basically said, well, we're asking you to uphold the law that's on the books and to bring the police in and to shut down the clinic and the murder that's going on. And so, you know, I thought, you know what? We were a witness for the Lord to them. Now, what they do with that, we don't know completely.
Well, we just read. But, we just read, didn't we?
But
we
that's what we're called to do, Coach. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're called to do. Amen. Amen.
Amen, George.
We're going to keep going down, too. We're going to keep going. You know what? I'm going to get on the docket next time. I believe Paul will get on the docket. Randy would have gone, but he was kind of running late, so we'll get him on it. But, yeah, we just need to put boots on the ground, Coach, like you've – you know, what inspired it is when we saw you, that clip you showed of you going a few years ago to the council meeting. That inspired it in our talk with when Randy, Paul, and Alan and I had our little round table meeting at the beginning of the year. That was one of the things on our agenda is to do that.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, listen. I'm going to say it again. What George, excuse me, George and his crew just did is magnificent. That same thing needs to be done to our pastors. Hey, folks, our pastors are above city council in the scheme of things. Our pastors represent the people. The elected officials are representative of the people. The people are the boss of the elected officials. Folks, the pastors are the leaders of the people. And we are in the mess we are in because our leadership sucks. We just read it. So I believe deeply that we have got to change our focus. And we got to quit griping and moaning here inside this cave and complaining about Pelosi. And start pointing the gun at that good pastor that you have. By the way, ignorance, we never got to it. Want, absence of knowledge, the negative state of mind, which has been instructed in arts. Ignorance may be, ignorance, next one, is in the plural, is used sometimes for omissions or mistakes, but the use is uncommon and not to be encouraged. Ignorance is to ignore what you know. We can no longer be ignorant. We can't be ignorant. We can't say, Lord, I didn't know they were killing babies in there. I didn't know that. We can no longer say, Lord, the government said it's okay, and ignore the fact that God said it was murder. We can't be ignorant anymore. God will not. God will hold us accountable. And he will hold. Is it a salvation issue? I don't know. I don't know. Revelation 21:8, Jared, can we pull that real quickly? Revelation 21:8. I don't know. I don't know about salvation. I hope I'm saved. I'm working out my own salvation. I am fearing, trembling, doing everything that I can do.
Coach?
Be awfully presumptuous. Hang on a second. Be awfully presumptuous of me to think I've got a highway to hell. I'm sorry, highway to heaven already paid for me no matter what I do. And I go to Revelation 21:8. It says this, but the fearful and the unbelieving, those are the first ones called out. The fearful and unbelieving. The fearful. He calls out the fearful and the unbelieving before the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. They're going to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And I can tell you the truth. You know why our pastors aren't standing up against evil, fearful, and unbelieving? Come on in, Denny.
I was just going to say, I know the pastors are supposed to be the leaders, but I know the heart of my Lord. And my Lord loves his people so much. If the pastors ain't doing it, he will raise up a remnant. And it may be just us carpet guys or cement guys. And he will give us the power to go out and do what needs to be done. That they'll lose their chance. But he will raise us up to do it with signs and wonders. I believe that with all of my heart.
Amen. Amen. Man, amen, amen, amen. I'm looking for a scripture. Somebody come in here. Somebody.
You know, Coach, I could just imagine talking to my pastor about this. First thing out of his mouth would be, well, you know, people know that abortion's wrong, and Jesus loves them. That's the first thing that come out of his mouth. He would never even mention this behind the pulpit.
Then, Walt, you need to run from that church.
I agree.
Hey, well, Dave.
How about you have to be careful? I don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, got to be careful. That's right. Got to show them love. Yeah, Roger.
Randy.
I'll tell you, Randy. Go ahead.
I want to share something really quick. I'll be real quick. But about 3 years ago, I had a dream that really shook me. I put a lot of them on the shelf, and I wait. But, Coach, you've confirmed to me this morning this dream. Well, this is the dream. It was of God, and I know it was. My wife and I went to a church. We were just seeking it out, and the Holy Spirit says, go right there. We went in the church. The service had started. I went in and sit down in the back row. And at the end of the service, I stood up. The pastor, I said, hey, sir, I have something I need to share. And I spoke. It was the Holy Spirit all over this thing. And the crowd just turned around and looked at me, and I maybe spoke for about a minute, and the pastor just sit down. He didn't have any, he couldn't stop it. He had no authority, Coach. It just went away all of a sudden. I spoke it, and all the people's mouths fell open, and they were just dumbfounded, and it's like, we've never heard this before. So what I'm saying, Coach, this is a confirmation to me. I've waited for 3 years to know what to do with that. I know what to do with it now, Coach.
Amen, Randy. Amen, Randy. Hey, listen. How come the pastor's the only guy that gets to speak in the church? How come he's the only one that gets to? Hey, Jared, Ezekiel 2.
Randy, you woke them up out of their stupor.
I'm the voice of the Lord. No, my life's not my own. I'm his servant. I'm his messenger. That's me. That's you. Huh? Did you ever fall in love? Did you ever fall in love? I did. Of course I did. I couldn't stop talking about Michelle. I still talk about her everywhere. I love her so much. Proud of her. Constantly talking about how much I love her. Do everything I can to serve her and protect her. Do everything I can. And then we find out that the Lord loves us, but we're not supposed to have a reciprocal relationship with him. Talk about him and defend his little babies and stand up against the darkness everywhere we go to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and the other most parts of the world. Are you kidding me? Jesus loves me. This I know. Oh. And he said unto me, Ezekiel 2, son of man, get this picture. Randy, Victor, George, get on your feet. I'm going to tell you something, boy. And the Spirit entered into me. Wow. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet that I heard him when he spoke to me. And he said unto me, hey, dude, I send you to the children of your church to be to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me, your church. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, and they're still doing it. Even right now, they're still doing it. For they are impudent children, stiff-hearted. And I do send you unto them, and you shall say unto them, thus says the Lord. He says, hey, listen, you're going to go to these boys, and I put my mouth words in your mouth, and this is what you're going to say for me, all right? You go say this for me. And they, whether they're going to hear it or not, it doesn't matter. For they are a rebellious house. They're going to know that there's been a prophet among them. They're going to know as they drag you out, man. They're going to know they heard from the Lord. And you, son of man, hang on, Vic. And you, son of man, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with you, and though you dwell among scorpions, don't be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words unto them, whether they hear or whether they don't hear. They're rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say unto you. Be not you rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your stinking mouth and eat that I give you.
Amen.
And amen. If you don't, you're just as rebellious as them.
And you know, Coach, you go to the prophets, brother. Jeremiah 7:21. He told Jeremiah, you are to speak everything I'm going to tell you. But I'm telling you this, Jeremiah, the people aren't going to listen to you. And Isaiah, when you go to Hebrews, that second half, and it says some were sawn in half, that was Isaiah. That is exactly who he was speaking of. Let me tell you what, the true prophets, brother, when they come forward in these days of the warning, brother, they're going to be ostracized from the churches.
Already am, brother. Already am. Hey, Jared, go back there. Go back to Ezekiel. No, is that where it was? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so he says, listen, you're going to open your mouth. You're going to speak what I give you. So Jeremiah says, Ezekiel says, oh, no. Hey, Lord, can I read it first? Can I read it and see if I'm up to it? Huh? No. He says, no, you're here. And he hands him something. And I looked, and behold, a hand was sent unto me, and here came the words. Here you are. Read this to him, boy. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. It wasn't your best life now. Hey, Jared, what is Lamentations? Go to Webster's. What is our Lamentations? Expression of sorrow, cries of grief, the act of bewailing. What was the message that you were going to bring back there? Go back there to Ezekiel. What's that message again? And they spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein great grief and mourning and woe. Say, Coach, boy, you've been a downer today. No, I'm not being a downer. I'm giving you a warning. I'm speaking to me. I'm giving me a warning. You get a it's all about cowardice, boys. Those pastors, they can say whatever they want to. I cannot believe Lexi Hall, 17-year-old Lexi Hall, went and met with her pastor. Lexi, are you there? Can you come in here a minute? Lexi Hall, 17 years old, went and met with her mega church pastor. Did you not, Lexi?
Yes, sir, I did.
And how'd that go, Lexi?
Not so well. I talked for about 2 hours to him, and he's still doing what he's been doing this whole time. So, but at least he's been warned, and at least he sees that somebody knows the truth in there. I don't think that he really does believe the truth, because how could he reject when I'm bringing up scripture to prove that you need to be preaching the gospel and actually sharing the true gospel and rescuing babies.
Mm. Hey, Jared,
don't
quickly.
Believe in actually sharing the true gospel to non-believers, only to those in the church.
Amen. Amen, Lexi. God bless you. Hey, Jared, go to my commentary real quick. Folks, if you haven't, I don't have time to read it all. I don't have time to read it. If you haven't read it, I sent it to most of you. If not, it's bless you, Lexi. It's posted at CoachDaveLive.com. But there's something in there I want to read to you real quickly. Can you get it up there for me, Jim? Okay, man. Okay. Oh man. I've delivered my soul this morning.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, Chad.
Chad, I just wanted to say that, you know, earlier when you were talking about Jeremiah 5 and all that, what came to me was earlier, I guess, in the week or last week, when he talked about the lions, where the Christians were in the auditorium and they would bring in the lions and they would kill them for entertainment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy, I can't remember what his name was, but he went in there and he said, "This will end today. I'm done with it. This is not going to happen anymore." And what happened to him? He got eaten by lions. But no one else was ever eaten by his abortion or whatever. It's modern time now. Is it going to take that person to put one's life above his, you know, to give his life for his friends? I mean, I think that's what that guy did. He set a great example on that he martyred himself and it stopped.
Okay, overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, love not their own life even to the death. Hey, listen, I'm sorry, Chad. Great, great message. Chad's got something coming up February 15th and 17th. I got it here. Chad, I was going to talk about it today. We didn't get to it. Folks, I wrote this in 2006. 2006. Can anybody do math? That's 13 years ago. 2006, I wrote this. I'm not going to read all of it. Jared, I want you to go down to where the bullet points are. Because I want to share this with people. Because here's what we've been talking about today. It's really good. Send it to your pastor. Stay right there, Jared. Send it to your pastors, okay? Send it to your pastors. Send it to people in your church, okay? Okay, so here we are. It starts out now. Stay with me. Public schools are destroying the faith of Christian children. Legislation is introduced to remove the rights of parents. Children are taught they came from apes. Millions of children are medicated to control their behavior. And the pulpits are silent. 2006, I wrote this. Gambling's promoted to pay for schools. Precious babies are murdered in the womb. Planned Parenthood kills babies with our tax dollars. Judges make laws. And the pulpits are silent. Tolerance trumps truth. Homosexual sodomy is granted legal protection. The institution of marriage is crumbling. Obama says the Sermon on the Mount justifies gay marriage, and the pulpits are silent. Government has replaced God as defender and provider. Faith-based initiatives invite the government into the church. The IRS muzzles the voices of the church. Taxes are levied to do the work of the church, and the pulpits are silent. The church locks arms with compassionate conservatism. Children's services agencies separate families. Self-help books replace the Bible. A purpose-driven life is elevated above dying to self. And the pulpits are silent. G.W. Bush says Christians and Muslims worship the same God. This is 2006. The Constitution's ignored. Pagans open to pray to open a session of Congress. Our elected officials lie and steal, and the pulpits are silent. Private property stolen by the government. Mother Earth is protected more than Father God is exalted. Illegal aliens overrun our borders. This is 2006. The entertainment industry celebrates and promotes debauchery, and the pulpits are silent. From a bygone era, the sound from the pulpit rumbles throughout the ages. Leonard Ravenhill said, could a mariner sit idle, be heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort, let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? You sit at ease in Zion. The world around you damned? Pulpits are silent. That's it, boys. Help me wrap it up. That's it in a nutshell. Phony fake churches, phony fake pastors, phony fake pulpits. We are a captured nation. We are captured in our comfort cares. We are so happy, fat, and content sitting in our church. The hell be damned. The world be damned. Let them abort babies. Let them rape little boys. Let those Catholic priests go out there and dingle little boys. That's all right. Let them traffic children. Let them steal money from me and give it to Planned Parenthood. I'm fine right here. I'm good in my box. Jesus is coming. He better be full of grace, because he wouldn't be coming after me if he wasn't. Boy, that's presumptuous, isn't it? Am I presumptuous if I think that the Lord will overlook my cowardice and let me in? What was that, Jared? 21:8, Jared, what was it? Revelation 21:8. The foolish, fearful, and unbelieving. Cowards go first, boys and girls.
You know, Coach, I think simplicity is very, very important. And the simple message of the gospel includes this fact. You have to confess Jesus as Lord. The Lord is one who controls you and leads you and guides you. If people are not allowing the Holy Spirit and Jesus to lead and guide them and cause them what to do and say, they are no more saved and a part of the family of God than this stupid cell phone sitting on my desk.
Revelations 3:17, Coach. Revelations 3:17. American church in a nutshell.
Because thou sayest I am rich, increaseth goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Hey, I just got an email. I'm going to tell you who it is. Somebody read my commentary, and the pulpits are silent. This is so typical. And they said, ours isn't. Their pulpit's not silent. I wonder if their pulpit leads them to the gates of hell. Because, boys and girls, talk is cheap. Talk's cheap. The Louisville Lip, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. You know why people hated him so much? was he ran his lips. They hated it. You know what they hated even more? He can back it up. Got a bunch of big talkers. Even those who are talking about it in their pulpits, they're big talkers. And we're looking for 17-year-old girls to lead the charge to save the unborn babies. There's a crisis of leadership in America's churches. And I'm going to tell you this. It begins right where you are, right with your pastor. That's who we can impact. God bless you. See you tomorrow.